Turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 4. I'm going to plan to cover two verses tonight. And I do have a lot, so I'm going to try not to chase rabbits and elaborate too much. Although I don't want to go fast, because that's always turns out badly usually when you try to go fast, or quickly, I should say. So anyway, Proverbs 10 and verse 4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." So we're going to look at that first part. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Now, I've taught you different times how to get wealth and to be wealthy, and tonight I'm going to teach you how to be poor, how to get poor specifically. And there are several ways to do this. Now, any one of these things probably won't get you poor, really poor. But if you combine a bunch of these things and do them a lot and consistently, then you can probably get poor pretty quickly and stay that way. So that's what I'm going to teach you how to do tonight. Kind of being sarcastic, but but you're going to learn. You're going to learn. Most Americans have already figured this out, but in case you haven't, you're going to learn some things here. So there are a number of ways in the Bible to become poor. Now, the verse that we're looking at here is the primary way, but I'm going to save that one till last. The first one is refusing instruction. Proverbs 13 and verse 18. It says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." So the first way to get poor is to refuse the instruction of the scripture, of the preacher when he preaches it, of people with good wisdom and counsel and, you know, teaching you how to manage your money. Refuse that instruction. That's your first step towards poverty. And usually that's why children start out poor, because they start out refusing instruction. They get that one figured out pretty well. Then secondly, it's following the advice or example of stupid people. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. If you're afraid you might make it to the end of your life with too much money, you can start following the advice of stupid people, and that'll probably clear up that problem you potentially might have. Proverbs 28:19 says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." So start, you know, following the advice and the counsel of your buddy that dropped out of high school and, you know, people like that. Latch on to every get-rich-quick scheme. Listen to the guy that's got the best stock picks that's going to get you rich, and make sure to put all your money into those stock picks. When you do things like that, you will be well on your way to poverty. And then having a lack of judgment. That's the third thing that you want to do. This one's good, because it'll help you do the rest of them. So if you can have a lack of judgment, then you'll be able to implement the rest of these things a lot better. So maybe this is the first one you should do. Proverbs 13 and verse 23 says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want," that is lack of judgment. The problem with poverty in most of the world is not that there's a lack of food, right, or lack of tillable soil. It's a lack of judgment, usually among the political elite that end up destroying the country through their policies. That's what causes most starvation. Number four would be loving pleasure and having expensive taste. This will get you on the way to poverty as well. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." So, start really loving the finer things of life. Start buying yourself really expensive bottles of wine, drinking them every night. I'd recommend going out to eat at least 5 times a week. At least. At least. Lunch and dinner is a lot better than just dinner. If you have to pick one, dinner is more expensive, so do that one. That's definitely the way to go. Bottle of wine with every meal, for sure. Get the appetizer and the dessert, definitely. You don't want to forget that. Fine taste. Make sure you drive a nice, big, brand new luxury vehicles.
But your wife should have one too.
And that, and then this will tie into the next one. Make sure you finance them. Paying cash is the dumbest thing you can possibly do. If you want to get poor, stop paying cash for things. Really bad idea. That's the next one. Going into debt. This is essential. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Only fools save for things. Like, if you want to go into poverty, don't be one of them. "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. See, the poor guy is the lender. So if you want to get poor, go into debt as much as possible. Now, a good way to start would be right out of high school, go to college, but for a worthless degree. Don't get a degree that's actually going to pay it off. You want to get something, you know, gender studies or history or something like that. Get at least a four-year degree. A bachelor or a master's is better because that costs more. It takes more time. You want to go to an elite school if possible. Don't go to any state schools. Go to an elite school. If you can rack up at least $100,000 in debt in 4 years, that's preferable. I mean, some places you could probably even do better. Make sure you take out loans for all of it. Definitely.
Pastor Rodney, I'm starting to get confused right now.
Yeah, well, I'm teaching you how to get poor. The next thing you want to do is, while you're still in college, buy yourself a new car and make sure you finance it. And then, as soon as you get out and get that first job, if you manage to get one, then buy a house. But buy the biggest house you can find. I mean, if they'll loan you $200,000, do it. If they'll loan you more than that, do it. The biggest house you can possibly find, but take out a 30-year mortgage. None of these 10- or 15-year mortgages, get it paid off quickly. 30-year mortgage, make sure you pay the maximum amount of interest possible. Biggest loan you can. Now, here's another trick. Once you do that, then start refinancing it every opportunity you get. But you don't refinance it for less years. Refinance it for 30 more years. And that way you'll keep extending out the 30 years, and you'll pay on that thing until the day you die. And you'll pay a lot more interest that way. It'll be way more expensive. And then you can take out what are those home loans?
Home equity loan.
Yeah, that's a good one too. So take out all the equity in the house. You probably don't have any to start out with, but take out as much as you can at the highest interest rate you can, and then buy a bunch of consumer junk that you don't need. Then you can pay all the interest. You know, fill that house with new furniture, but you want to. Here's the thing though, put it on a credit card. And you want to get one of those credit cards that's those 18 or 20% cards. Anything lower than that, your chances of abject poverty are going to go lower and lower. So you want to get those high interest rate ones. And here's the real kicker. Make the minimum payment. So do $20 a month, whatever you can do. That will guarantee you to be a debt slave the rest of your life. So just some pointers. You want to do that. Make sure, like I said, you want to buy a new car as often as possible and finance that thing. Get a good interest rate on it. And by a good one, I mean a high one. The highest one you possibly can. Put nothing down. Down payments is a dumb idea. Get as much loaned out as you can. Extend the loan out to 7 years if possible. And that way, by the time you pay it off, it'll be time to buy another one on a loan. And you can keep paying interest. So you can pay interest for the rest of your life on the house and the car and all this stuff. So. There are ways to get poor. I mean, it's kind of difficult. It's counterintuitive, but you know, if you put these things into practice, they will help. The next one is hasting to be rich. So if you want to get poor, set your mind on getting rich and getting rich fast, and that will get you poor. You'd think it would get you rich, but if you want to get rich fast, that'll make sure you get poor because you'll cut corners, you'll do all kinds of unethical things. And you'll invest in all kinds of dumb things like get-rich-quick schemes. That'll get you poor quickly, too. Proverbs 28 and verse 22 says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." So, yes, wanting to get rich quick will make you poor quickly. And then here's one that you wouldn't think would be the case. But if you want to get poor, be cheap and stingy. You think, well, that'll probably get me rich because if I'm cheap and stingy, I'm not going to spend much money. But the Lord has a way of making people that are cheap and stingy poor. So if you want to get the Lord working for you, be cheap and stingy, then he'll make sure you're poor. So that'll help too. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. Proverbs 11 and verse 24, it says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty." So this tells us that the guy that scatters, he's generous, he actually increases, but the guy that withholdeth more than his meat, he wants to keep it all for himself, he comes to poverty. So it's important to be cheap and stingy if you want to be poor. Now, I'll just give you a real simple example of frugality, frugality is a really bad idea, right? If you want to be poor, don't be frugal, for goodness sakes. But the difference between frugality and being cheap and stingy is, For instance, somebody that's frugal would limit the amount of times they go out to eat. You know, they might go out to eat once in a while, but they're going to limit it. They're not going to go out every night of the week or something. Somebody that's cheap and stingy, when they go out to eat, gives a lousy tip. You see, that's the difference between cheap and stingy and frugal, right? So you want to be cheap and stingy, you know, and stay away from the frugality. But the best way to get poor is what this verse is teaching us here, and that is to be lazy. There's a thing in the Bible, and I don't know if this is absolutely true or not. People make something of it. It's called the law of first mention. I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not.
Dimension?
The law of first mention.
Mention.
Yep. So they'll say the first place a word is used in the Bible often has some significance, and it kind of sets the stage for how the word is used throughout the rest of the Bible. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I haven't done a study on that. But if it's true, this is the first place the word poor is used in the book of Proverbs, and therefore, by that law, this would be the primary cause of poverty is laziness. So this one here will just exacerbate all the rest. So if you can be lazy and not work and all that, then do the rest of these things on top of that, you'll be guaranteed to get yourself into poverty. Poor, it says there is that becometh, or he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Poor is having few or no material possessions, wanting means to procure the comforts or the necessities of life. Needy, indigent, destitute, specifically in legal use, it's so destitute as to be dependent on gifts or allowances for subsistence. In common use, expressing various degrees from absolute want to straitened circumstances or limited means relatively to station, as, quote, a poor gentleman, a poor professional man, clergyman, scholar, clerk, etc. So basically the word poor can mean like absolute poverty, we have nothing, or it could be a relative thing, like, oh, you know, that he's a poor lawyer, he only lives in a $400,000 house, right? He's a poor doctor, he only drives a Mercedes instead of a Bentley, or, you know, that. So it could be relative as well. So he that becometh poor dealeth with a slack hand. Now, to deal is to take part in, have to do with, occupy oneself, do business, act. So when you deal, it's what you're occupying, what you're doing. And then specifically, when it comes to financial matters, it's to carry on commercial transactions, to do business, trade, traffic with a person in an article. It is to have to do with a thing. In any way, to busy or occupy oneself, to concern oneself with. So he that dealeth with a slack hand, in other words, he that uses a slack hand in his business and whatever he does, he will come to poverty. He becometh poor. Slack, when you're speaking of persons, is lacking in energy or diligence, inclined to be lazy or idle, remiss, careless, negligent, or lax in regard to one's duties. So he that deals with a slack hand, according to this definition, is lazy, careless, negligent, and lax in his business, or whatever he occupies himself. So this is a sure way to come to poverty, is just to be lazy and not do anything. Because, you know, most people aren't just going to hand you money for doing nothing, right? You gotta work for it. So if you want to become poor, you know, just do nothing. You've probably heard the term slacker. That guy's a slacker, right? He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. The slacker lacks energy and diligence and works only half-heartedly. And this is one thing that just drives me crazy when I see people working whatever their job is or whatever they're doing, and they're just doing it lackluster, and they're doing it slowly, and they're just moping around. That's what they do. Everything they do slowly. It's like Paul said of the Cretans, they were slow bellies. Right, they're just lazy, and I can't stand that. I hate that. Such a lazy man will become poor, and he will have few or no material possessions. He'll lack the means to procure the comforts and necessities of life, and will depend on others to take care of him. And I just basically put all the definition right into that verse there. Such a man's poverty will come unexpectedly and forcefully. He's not going to realize it's coming, and then all of a sudden, it's going to hit him like a ton of bricks. Proverbs 6:6-11. says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The poverty coming as one that traveleth is unexpectedly. In these days, people didn't call you on their cell phone and say, hey, I'm going to be there in an hour. They just showed up and knocked at the door. One that traveleth. Comes, you're not expecting it. This is what happens. Eventually, you do these things that I've just taught you how to do, of course, with tongue in cheek. I'm not really telling you to do these things. But if you do these things, they will begin to add up, and all of a sudden, bam, poverty comes. The bills are due, and you don't know what you're going to do. And there are people that live like that. There are people that live that are waiting for the paycheck to come and just hoping that that bill doesn't come due the day before the paycheck comes. They're hoping that the paycheck comes in and the bill comes due the next day, and they're like, you know, crossing their fingers, waiting with bated breath. I mean, I've talked to people like this. It's like, man, I'd be having a heart attack if I lived like that. That would stress me out to no end. I can't even imagine living like that. But there's a lot of people that do. Such a man will destroy himself. Proverbs 10 and verse 15. It says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. I mean, you look at these poor people in these third world countries and you see how they live. I mean, that's destruction, right? They are not flourishing. They're not living well. Lazy people love to sleep, which brings them to poverty. There's a number of verses in Proverbs about this. This is one of the main reasons why people are poor. They're lazy. They don't do anything. They just sleep all day, right? Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Just get up. Go do something. Go work somewhere. Do something, and you'll have bread. But if you sleep all day, you're not going to. Proverbs 23 and verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now that's a double whammy there. You sleep a lot, and then when you get up, you drink a lot. You are going to be poor, and there is no doubt about that. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. He's not maintaining his property because he's sleeping too much. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. See, in this case, he might not have to sleep all day. Just a little sleep. Just sleep that extra hour or two and do that every day. And say, you know what, I really, you know, the house needs painted or the whatever. You know, something needs fixed on the house. The roof is starting to leak. I really need to fix it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm just tired. You know, just an hour here, an hour there, and before you know it, his poverty comes upon him. Proverbs 26 and verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. He's just rolling over from one side to the other, and that alarm clock goes off, and he rolls over, and he hits the snooze button. He rolls back over, and it just goes on and on and on. That's why he's poor. And then lazy people won't work during difficult conditions, and therefore they end up poor that way too. Because work is not called work for no reason. It's called work because it's labor, it's hard. And sometimes you got to work when it's raining, when it's cold, when it's miserable, when you don't feel like it, when you're tired. And people that won't do that are going to be poor. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. In those days, before social safety nets and all that, you were just going to sleep through plowing season. You're going to starve during harvest season. A sluggard is one who is naturally or habitually slow, lazy, or idle. One who is disinclined for work or exertion of any kind. A slothful or indolent person. Like I said, when a lazy man does work, he works very slowly. And I'll tell you, there are certain parts of the country that are worse than others. I've worked in plants, Procter & Gamble plants, P&G plants, dog food plants, in the north and in the south, in Ohio and in North Carolina. No comparison. Same plant, same company. In the north, they work and they get stuff done. In the south, they sit around in the break room. You're trying to start up a product line. Up there, those guys are Johnny on the spot. What's next? What's next? What's next? Down south, hey, where are you at? Oh, I'm in the break room. Be there in 15 minutes. There's a difference in work ethic. And there's that also corresponds to a difference in wealth. There's a reason why the south is poorer than the north. There's a reason why Mississippi is so poor and other states like that. It's called a work ethic. That's one of the reasons anyway. Another thing about lazy people is they waste food and other material and will therefore become and remain poor. So here's another way. If you want to get poor, just be wasteful. Don't be resourceful with your stuff. Don't try to make it last longer. Don't appreciate what you have. Throw food away, you know, that kind of thing. Proverbs 12 and verse 27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." And there's probably a lot of people out there that money is tight for them, and if they just would be more careful with what food they buy, what food they eat, and making sure they buy and eat everything they buy, and are just, you know, not buying a bunch of stuff and then letting it go to waste, you know, they might not be so in such desperate straits. They'd just be a little more careful and not be so wasteful. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Proverbs 18:9, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." The lazy guy and the guy that wastes are brothers. They're close. They're tight-knit. Because think about it. It's easier to waste something than it is to preserve it. I mean, you have a garden. You grow a bunch of vegetables in your garden. Is it easier to let them sit out there and rot? Or is it easier to come in and can them and dry them? And of course, right? It's a lot easier just to let them rot, just to waste them. Just say, oh, I can't eat it, so, you know, right? And so that's why, you know, the two of those things are tied together. And then the thing about lazy people is, slothful person is a person full of sloth, indisposed to exertion, inactive, indolent, lazy, sluggish. And a sloth, or sloth, the noun, is physical or mental inactivity, disinclination to action, exertion, or labor, sluggishness, idleness, indolent, laziness. So there is mental and physical work, and there's mental and physical sloth, right? You can be lazy mentally or physically, or you can be lazy mentally, right? You can be either one. In the case of a preacher, right, a preacher has to be diligent mentally and can't be lazy mentally, because, you know, he doesn't have a boss, not an earthly one anyway. He could just be wasting his time, goofing around, not being diligent. It'll come out eventually. I mean, it'll be obvious, but for a while, you could probably get away with it. And then lazy people refuse to work. We get a lot of that in this country. I mean, look at the labor shortage that we have. You get restaurants that can't even stay open all day long because they can't get people to work. How is this possible? Right, it's got to be government benefits. It's got to be something. I mean, there's something going on here. People aren't working, and yet they're consuming, right? I don't see people starving, so they're getting money somewhere. Just shows you that this is the moral hazard. Proverbs 21 and verse 25. But I have a solution to that. Elect me. I'll solve the problem quickly. Proverbs 21:25. But then I would be dead. If you'd solve the problem, you would die. Proverbs 21 and verse 25, it says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." He just won't work. He just refuses to. And his desire kills him because he wants something so badly, but he won't work, and therefore he can't have it. And it's just eating him up inside. But the Bible tells us that they that will not work shall not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. And if we just implemented this simple law in this country, it would solve a lot of problems. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Would not. Not cannot. Would not. Won't do it. He doesn't want to. Any man that can work and won't, shouldn't eat. The pilgrims figured this out. When they first came over here, they were going to have some communal system where everybody worked and everybody brought in the food and then it was all distributed evenly. And when they almost starved the first year, they say, nope, that's it, every man for himself. And then they began to prosper. He that will not work, let him, he will not eat. I say let him starve. The connection between working and eating has been broken in this country. There's no connection there anymore between working and eating. I say let him starve. You say that's mean. I say not really. It'll be best for them in the end because they're not going to starve. They're going to work. Nobody's going to starve to death because they won't work. That's impossible, I would think. And starvation is a great incentive to work. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Now, if you implemented this in the short term, you're going to have to greatly increase your police presence because there's a lot of people that would rather steal than work. Right, so if you implement, you took away all the welfare, yeah, then you're going to have to start protecting your property for a while.
But you'd have the money to do it.
Yes, well, you wouldn't be, yeah, funding this enormous Leviathan government. Furthermore, pass the law, you don't work, you don't eat, and the law that if anybody tries to break into your house and rob you, you can kill them. And then those two laws together would solve a lot of the problem. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It's a great incentive to work, because it makes you desire, and you're going to do something about it. Proverbs 19 and verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. That's the way it's supposed to be, anyway. And then lazy people always have an excuse for their laziness. They always have a reason. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. Proverbs 22, 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the street. I can't go to work. It's dangerous out there. There's a lion in the street. I can't go to work. There's a snowstorm. There's snow on the road. It's ice storm. There's ice on the road. It's too dangerous. It's cold out there. It's below zero. What happens if my car breaks down? I'd freeze to death. It's too dangerous to go to work out there. I mean, there's crime down there in the city. What if I go down there and park my car somewhere and walk into work? Somebody could kill me. It's dangerous. I can't go to work. They've always got an excuse. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. You could have seven men go up to some guy that refuses to work and give him seven reasons. Each of them could say, hey, you ought to get to work. And he's going to have seven excuses. He's going to have a reason every time why he shouldn't do it. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. All right, so there's how to get poor. And then the second part of the verse says, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I'm not going to spend as long in this section. I've talked about this before. But this second clause is connected to the first clause by the word but, which is a contrasting conjunction. Right? He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Whereas a lazy man will become poor, a diligent man will make himself rich. Diligent, when we're speaking of persons, is constant in application, persevering in endeavor, assiduous, industrious, not idle, not negligent, not lazy. Just the opposite of the guy, of the sluggard, the slothful man that we were looking at a minute ago. My wife just asked me the other day, what kind of a person do you admire? And I said, somebody that is diligent, industrious, and wise. What did I say?
Has principles.
Has principles. Well, I'll add four then. Wise and has principles. I really admire people that are diligent, people that are hard workers. Assiduous means of persons or agents constant in application to the business in hand, persevering, sedulous, unwearyingly diligent. And then diligent was defined with industrious, which means characterized by or showing intelligent or skillful work. Skillful, able, clever, ingenious. Characterized by or showing application, endeavor, or effort, painstaking, zealous, attentive, careful. So somebody that takes their work seriously. They work hard at it, they're zealous for it, attentive to it. A person like that will be rich. And there's a couple of caveats there, and I will give those to you here in a second. Rich, when we're speaking of persons, is powerful, mighty, exalted, noble, great. Now that's the primary definition, and that's not usually what we think about when we think of rich. But if you think about it, most rich people are powerful, mighty, exalted, noble, maybe, great, in the world's eyes anyway. But definitely mighty and powerful, and exalted in the eyes of men, you know, no doubt about it. But rich, as we think about it, it's number two, having large possessions or abundant means, wealthy, opulent. Now the definition of rich is not virtuous, righteous, right? Things like that. You know, there's lots of people that are powerful and mighty that are not good people, but they do have a lot. So, if you put all those definitions together, here's what the verse is saying. A man who works at whatever he does with constancy, persevering in his endeavors painstakingly, zealously, attentively, and carefully will be a wealthy man of abundant means if, here's the two caveats, if he is humble and fears God, and if God blesses his efforts. Okay? Give you that verse, Proverbs 22 and verse 4. A couple of caveats, because there's plenty of God's children that are poor. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? There's nothing wrong with being poor if you are a diligent worker, and that's just your lot in life to be poor. If you didn't do anything to cause that, there's nothing wrong with being poor. It's ignominious if you're poor because of your own doing. But there's nothing wrong with being poor if it's just God's will for your life, and that is his will for some people's lives. Proverbs 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So you got to be humble, first of all. And then you have to rely on God to bless your efforts. He may bless your hard work with increased wealth, or he may not. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So you got to have that blessing of the Lord, along with the hard work, along with humility. We're told in Proverbs 21 and verse 5 that the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. And this is why some people out there are more wealthy than others, because they're not only diligent, but they think a different way. Rich people, wealthy people think differently than poor people do. And that's what people have written books about this. It's absolutely true. They think differently, entirely different. They view money differently. They just have a totally different mindset. That's why I've heard if you could somehow make everybody equal and take all the wealth in the world and equally distribute it to each person, it would be a matter of probably weeks or less before all of a sudden a lot of people have a lot of it and most people don't have very much of it, because those people think differently and they are going to start doing things. And I'm talking about in a free market and doing things honestly. They're going to say, hey, you know what? If I made this thing, people would like it, and I could make it and sell it to them, and it's going to improve their lives. Mm-hmm. And before, and people, these people are giving their money to this guy, and he's making things, right? So equality will never, ever, ever happen. It's a horrible idea, because if you have equality, all you're going to have is everybody equally poor. Mm-hmm. There's no other outcome than that.
Pastor Redner, going back to Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The fear of the Lord means keeping his commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought keeping...
Part of it, yeah.
One of it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping his commandments involve being industrious.
Right, yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Proverbs 21:5, the verse that I mentioned, didn't get to yet. says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. You see, the thoughts of the diligent, they're going to plan and figure out the best way that they can make money, improve their station, get a good education or training or something, and then make, you know, save money, make wise decisions, invest in a business or whatever. They're thinking about things like that. Whereas everyone that is hasty says, I got a plan to get rich. I'm going to buy lottery tickets, right? Something like that. And there are dumb people out there that think like that, right? You haste to be rich, you're not going to be. And he who labors will increase, we're told. And just becoming wealthy, whether it's a little bit wealthy or a lot wealthy, is largely dependent on if you're going to work for it or not. Most wealthy people work a lot. I mean, they didn't just get that way just because they got lucky or something. Proverbs 13 and verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. So you till your land.
Well, that's a different problem.
What verse am I? Oh, that's that one actually fit, but I was looking at 13:11 is the one. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wealth gotten by vanity. Lottery ticket winners are usually broke within a few years or less. People that get large inheritances, it's usually gone. They blow it. I've seen it. I've seen poor old people work and skimp and save and be frugal their whole lives and amass a nice, a decent chunk of money and leave it to the kids, and it is gone. With some of them, it's gone before they even get it. It's spent before they even get the check. It's crazy. It happens all the time. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In all labor there is profit. So no matter what you do, if you work hard at it, it's profitable. There's no job that's beneath a Christian. Now Christians should be diligent workers at whatever they do. We're told in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So whatever it is, whatever you work at, do it with your might. Work hard at it. We're supposed to be working as if we're working for Jesus Christ and not for men. Colossians 3:23 through 24. I'm going to skip the one in Ephesians. Colossians 3:23 through 24. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with your heart, right? Put your passion into it and do it as to the Lord and not as to men. Christians are supposed to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord in Romans 12 and verse 11. And fervent is hot, burning, glowing. Had to take care of an ant there. Hot, burning, glowing, boiling of persons, their passions, dispositions, or actions. Ardent, earnestly intense. Somebody that really puts their heart into their work. Christians should be the hardest working people around. They should be. Christians should be the hardest workers. Christians should have a reputation that you hire them, you're going to get a hard worker. A lazy Christian is an oxymoron. It's just a contradiction of terms. And those who work diligently will not be poor. And that takes, yes, what?
Well, doesn't it have something to do with how you treat your brethren or your brothers too? Well, verse 11, not slothful in business.
Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord?
Yes.
Not particularly.
I read in a commentary that it has something to do with.
I don't know. Could be, but it's mainly business is what you do, so.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry. All right, so that takes care of verse 4.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.